In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In recent weeks, we've been reading during the week the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is, for the most part, almost reproduced completely between the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. It's one of the reasons why these three Gospels are called Synoptic Gospels, because they have very similar content. And synoptic means see the sames. Whereas the Gospel of John was written later by the Apostle John, and he wrote that Gospel to supplement the things that were not included in the first three Gospels. We read today about a man who was healed that was blind, but recently we read in the Gospel of Mark about another blind man. This story is one of those stories in the Gospel of Mark that are not found elsewhere in any of the other Gospels. This is Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and brought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Bethsaida was a place that was apparently lacking in faith, because we read in the Gospel of Matthew Christ pronouncing judgment over the city. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And so the fathers point out that when Christ led him out of the town, this was symbolic of him leading him out of the world, leading him away from the faithless people who were in that city. And also, this is the only miracle, the only healing that we read in any of the Gospels in which Christ healed someone in two stages. Christ certainly didn't need to do that, and so the fathers point out that there had to be some symbolic meaning behind what he was doing. The first thing that he did was, it says that he spit on his eyes and he put his hands upon him. And the fathers point out, one thing I should point out is that sounds very strange to us, but the idea that spittle had healing properties was not such a strange thing back in those times. And even today, if you burn your finger, what do? You put your finger in your mouth. And what do dogs do with their wounds? They lick them. So it's not without some merit. But Christ doing this, Christ healed people in many different ways. And sometimes he would do something he would never do to anyone else. And there was always some meaning behind it. It wasn't just haphazard. But the fathers say that the spit represents the word of God, because it proceeds from his mouth. And that tells us about our need to hear the word of God. As St. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this was a man who had an incomplete faith. But his touch represents action. And what this tells us is that we not only need to hear the word of God, but we need to put it into action. And doing these two things are what increase our faith. So if we are like that man, we've received some of the grace of God, but this man said when Christ touched him the first time, that he saw men, but they were like trees walking. So he could see a little bit, but his vision was very blurry, and he couldn't see clearly. And if we are like that man, we've experienced some measure of grace, but we're wondering why we can't go further, then what we need to do is we need to do what the fathers tell us about this passage, which is to hear the word of God and to put it into practice. Those two things together will build up our faith, increase our faith, because Christ said in the Gospels many times that people were healed according to their faith. And so we're healed spiritually according to our faith. And there are ways that Christ tells us that we can increase our faith. So that's certainly what we should be focused on. He also told him to not go back into the village. And the fathers say that this was basically saying that he needed to turn away from the world, that he needed to keep going on the straight path that he had begun after he was healed and his eyes were opened totally and he was able to see clearly. The biggest problem that we have in our day is there are so many temptations around us. It's very difficult to live the Christian life the way that we know that it ought to be. We're surrounded by temptations. There's people constantly pulling us. We're surrounded by all kinds of entertainment that is not wholesome. And we know we shouldn't be engaged in certain things. We know that we should be spending our time doing other things. We should be in church. We should be spending time praying. We should be reading the scriptures. But we're pulled and we are weak. But when you start on the path of grace, when you begin to repent, when you begin to experience some measure of the grace of God, and you begin to grow in grace, it's very important that you not turn back. Because when you turn back, you're going to end up right where you were, only it's going to be a little bit harder the next time for you to come back out of that city and to start back on that path again. So don't go back to the village. Don't return to the word, to the world. But as St. Paul said in the other epistle that we heard this morning, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen.